Welcome to the Holden Village Podcast. Holden is a community of education, programming, and worship located in the remote wilderness of the Cascade Mountains. These snapshots provide a glimpse into the learnings taking place in our community. Let's tune in to this week's highlight.
Well, hi, virtual Holden folk. My name is Elizabeth Austin, and I have the great good fortune and delight to be back at Holden. You know, I think this is my 8th time here. I first came to Holden when I was serving as the Washington State Poet Laureate. I came up for the women's retreat and fell absolutely in love with Holden Village and have come back at every possible chance. So what I'm doing here this week is a series of workshops designed to introduce folks to some ways to think about writing. And one of the things that I've been doing and that I want to share with you in this podcast is the idea of writing a poem of praise or an ode to something that we don't normally think of praising or celebrating, a way to provide a chance to focus our attention on something with the intention of praising and celebrating it. And I think of it as the opposite of taking something for granted. So what I'll do in the time we have together is read you some examples of odes, and then I'm going to suggest some ways that you might write an ode of your own. And so as I did with the workshop, what I'd like to encourage is for you to keep a pen and paper nearby, because as I read these example poems, you might think of some things that you could praise, some things that maybe feel broken or neglected or underappreciated in your own life, in your community, in the world. So just notice what comes to mind, because one of the things that's important about all art making is honoring what you're drawn to and what you notice, and trusting that if you notice it, if it grabs your attention, then there's something there for you to work with. So no matter what comes up, I hope you'll just jot it down as a possible something to celebrate in an ode. So it's important to know that the ode is a very old form. The Greeks wrote odes to celebrate victories in battle. That's not the kind of ode that I'm interested in today. I'm much more interested in the kind of odes that the Chilean poet Pablo Neruda wrote. He wrote many odes in his lifetime. There's a book called Odas Elementales, Odes for Common Things. And that's a little bit of the model that we're following today. But I'm going to start by reading you what is probably currently my favorite ode. It's by a writer named Angel Nafis. She's a young writer, and this is a poem that she calls Ode to Dahlia's Bald Spot. And a couple things to know. There's some vocabulary here that I think is useful to know in advance. And one is, you may know that lupus is an autoimmune disease, and that will get mentioned in the poem. She's also going to use the term bismillah. My understanding of the word bismillah is that it means in the name of Allah, and it's an invocation used by Muslims at the beginning of an undertaking. And also a Muslim term, she's going to use the word hajj or hajj, as I've also heard it pronounced, and that of course is the annual pilgrimage to Mecca. And it's Mecca is of course the holiest city for Muslims, and it's a mandatory religious duty that is meant to be carried out at least once in one's lifetime, if you are able. So those are a little vocabulary that will come up in the course of this poem, again by Angel Nafis, called Ode to Dahlia's Bald Spot. My sister wraps the throw around herself on the small cream love seat, and I know for sure that she is not a speck of dirt on a pill. She coughs and sniffs up all the lucky air in the room into her excellent nostrils, which are endless holy wells replenishing the soft architecture of her guts. Not even the lupus can interrupt this ritual of beholding. You ever look at a thing you ain't make, but become a mother in the looking? Our blood is a thread tied around my finger, tied around her finger, that helps me love. when her knees swell, when her joints rust, when her hair thins and flees, making a small continent of skin on the side of her head. I am witnessing her in whatever state her body will allow. Bismillah to the brain that put my name next to her name and said, "Look at this girl your whole life and know some kind of peace." Littlest bald spot that no one expected or knew how to love, you remind me of us. I know Dahlia's thinking, "How ugly, what a shame, but I want to build a mosque right then and there. Make an annual Hajj to that brown meadow, slick as a coin, little planet uncolonized, flagless, her awful, but her own." There are so many things I love about this particular poem. Just a few things I want to mention. So as always, the title is a doorway into the poem, Ode to Dahlia's Bald Spot. It announces right at the start the apparent subject of this poem, Dahlia, the speaker's sister's bald spot. And we find out pretty quickly that that bald spot is caused by lupus. But as the poem unfolds, we understand that this poem is celebrating not just that bald spot, but the bond between these two women and Dahlia's resistance, her resilience, her continuing to be despite what this disease is doing to her body. And I just want to point out two things about this poem that you might want to incorporate into a poem of your own that you write. Did you notice how there are, there's a point where there's a direct address where the speaker speaks directly to that bald spot? Late in the poem, she says, "Littlest bald spot that no one expected or knew how to love, you remind me of us." That direct address is a strategy you might try in your own ode. I also notice the way there are these gigantic shifts in scale that happen in this poem. And it happens right from the beginning. The speaker shows us Dahlia on the cream love seat and then says, "I know for sure that she is not a speck of dirt on a pill." We go from a speck of dirt on a pill to her excellent nostrils, which are endless holy wells, replenishing the soft architecture of her guts. And then that bald spot gets introduced as a small continent of skin on the side of her head. And then it goes back to littlest bald spot. And then that bald spot becomes a brown meadow, large again. And then a coin, little but valuable. And then a meadow, and then a coin. And then it's a planet, it's a whole planet. But it's uncolonized, flagless, her awful, but her own. Those shifts in scale are part of the gestures of praising that Angel Nafis uses. So there's a lot in that poem, and I really encourage you to just back up the podcast and listen to it again. There's just so much to get there. I could easily talk this whole time about that one poem. I love it so. But I want you to hear at least this one other poem by the writer Ross Gay, who wrote just a gorgeous book of poems called Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude, which has to be one of the best all-time titles of a book of poems. So the writer Ross Gay brings us Ode to Drinking Water from My Hands, which today in the garden I'd forgotten I'd known, and more, forgotten I'd learned and was taught this by my grandfather, who, in the midst of arranging and watering the small bouquets on mostly the freshest graves, saw my thirst and cranked the rusty red pump, bringing forth from what sounded like the gravelly throat of an animal a frigid torrent, and with his hands made a lagoon from which he drank, and then I drank, before he cranked again, making of my hands now a fountain in which I can see the silty bottom drifting while I drink and drink. And my grandfather waters the flowers on the graves, among which are his and his wife's, unfinished and patient, glistening after he rinses the bird shit from his wife's. And the pump exhales, and I drink to the bottom of my fountain and join him in his work. So as with the previous poem, there's the apparent subject identified in the title, Ode to Drinking Water from My Hands. And again, we quickly realize that there's much more being praised here. We come to understand that it was the grandfather who taught the young speaker to drink from his hands. And again, we get this marvelous shift in scale where the grandfather makes with his hands a lagoon from which he drinks, and then the speaker drinks. And then the speaker with his own hands makes a fountain and drinks from them. And the one thing I just want to point out about this poem is how important it is that while the speaker starts in the garden, the poem quickly shifts to the grandfather and the speaker as a child watering graves, watering fresh graves, but also the future grave of the grandfather himself. And so this poem is heightened by the presence, the sure presence of the end of life, of mortality, that the life-giving, sustaining quality of both the water and the relationship with the grandfather are set against the presence of death. And it's part of the resonance of this poem. This would be a very different poem if it was set only in a garden without the presence of those graves. All right, I'm going to read you one more poem before I offer you a couple of suggestions for writing an ode of your own. I want to read you this poem by Galway Connell, and you'll notice right off that this one isn't labeled as an ode, but it is in fact an ode. This one is called St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of the earth on the sow. And the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart to the blue milken dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them. The long, perfect loveliness of sow. And again, that's Galway Connell. The only thing I'll mention about that poem before I encourage you into writing your own ode is all the sensory language of that poem. The way we get the fodder and slop and the hard spininess and the blue milken dreaminess sputtering and shuddering and the mouth sucking and blowing, that the sensory details are part of what brings this poem to life, makes it feel vivid and urgent and present. So I hope that what you will do is spend maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, giving your attention to something in need of praise, something perhaps overlooked, taken for granted, and just spend a little time enumerating its many qualities that you treasure, for which you're grateful. You might employ shifts in scale like Angel Nafis and Ross Gay did, or you might directly address the object like Angel Nafis did. You might focus on sensory details, what you love about the way this place or person or thing smells, feels, tastes, what it looks like, the sounds of it, so that you are using the writing of the ode as a form of meditation. It's also a kind of gratitude practice, and it can also be a method of repairing our relationship with something, someone, someplace, to write in its praise. So thank you for listening. I'm so delighted to be part of the Holden community, and I wish you joyous writing.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.